Well, last week we kicked off our series in Romans chapter 12 to 16. We started off in the first two verses of chapter 12, where Paul starts to talk about the implications of the gospel that he's been outlining and talking about for the first 11 chapters. And he really wants his readers to see how living in the light and in the view of God's mercy will transform our lives. To see that the only logical response to God's mercy is to give our lives completely to him in sacrificial worship. As we move on from verses 1 to 2, Paul now starts to kind of dive into some really practical examples of what lives that have been transformed by the gospel might look like. You know, having all of our relationships transformed, our relationship with God, with ourselves, with other people, with our society, with the church, and more. And in this next little section, in verses 3 to 8 of chapter 12, the question for us as we read is this. How does the gospel change the way we think about ourselves? How will having our minds transformed, our minds renewed, change the way we view ourselves? Now, I'm sure I'm not alone in saying that I have a tendency at times throughout my life to exaggerate my ability sometimes and end up getting myself in a bit of trouble. And you know, I think I do this more and more as I get older. Perhaps you can relate to that. You know, like when I tell myself that I'm more than capable of building my own shed, only to kind of wish halfway through that I'd paid someone else to do it. Or when I kind of think that jumping and roughhousing with the kids on the trampoline is no problem, only to find out later that night that now my knees don't work properly. Now, these are times when I'm not really thinking accurately about myself, when perhaps I was thinking a little bit too highly of myself. And this is the kind of thinking that Paul is calling Christians to work on. See what he says in verse 3 of chapter 12. Paul says, "By the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you." Paul says, don't think too highly of yourself. Instead, you know, when you think about yourself, when you judge, when you assess yourself, do it soberly. And of course, what's the opposite to the alternative to being sober? Drunkenness. And to think of ourselves with sober judgment means to do it in a way that is completely in touch with reality, that is accurate, that's not too high. So how do we do that? How do we think about ourselves in an accurate way? We let our view of ourselves be shaped by the gospel. I got new glasses recently. They're kind of falling down a bit today, which is a bit painful. But anyone who has glasses knows, you know, when you go to the optometrist, they need to find the right prescription for the lenses so that you can see properly. And so you sit in the chair and the optometrist, he kind of makes you look through that weird contraption with all of the different lenses. And the goal is to find the right one, isn't it? So that you can see properly. So that you can see accurately. Having and using the right lens in your glasses is important for getting an accurate picture of what you're looking at. And this is what Paul is getting at in the end of verse 3. You know, we need to view ourselves with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to us. And I reckon this is one of those bits of the Bible where when you read it, you kind of think, oh, I have no idea what that even means, right? What does it mean to think of yourself in accordance with your faith? It's a bit of a weird phrase, and so I think it's helpful for us to kind of dig into a little, because it's actually really important and really helpful for us. In the ESV translation, the English Standard Version, this phrase is translated a little differently. It's translated, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. This word measure is really important. Because what Paul's really trying to get at here is the idea that the thing that should ultimately shape the way we think about ourselves, the thing we should use to kind of measure ourselves against soberly or accurately is the gospel. The thing we have put our faith in. Here's a quote from Tim Keller, because I think he explains it much better than I ever could, and it's really helpful. This is what he says. Most people reading this verse have thought that the measure of faith means the amount of faith. That is, that our opinion of ourselves depends on the amount of faith we have. In the context of all Paul has been saying in Romans, though, that seems unlikely. Because, the word measure is the Greek word metron, from which we get the word meter. And it most likely means a standard of measurement, not an amount. In other words, Paul is saying, all of you have been given your saving faith in Christ crucified, and that is how you are to measure yourselves. The gospel is the same for everyone. And when we measure ourselves against the gospel, we're all the same. There are no kind of standouts. Regardless of our background, our abilities, our role, we're all saved by Christ. We're all equal in Christ. And I know I'm kind of mixing my metaphors here, but I think it's helpful as we think about how we view ourselves. Now, viewing ourselves through the lens of the gospel is the only way to get an accurate, sober kind of assessment, a sober measurement. The gospel lens stops us from thinking too highly of ourselves. We're no better than anyone else. We're all sinners, desperately in need of a saviour. But the gospel lens, it also stops us thinking too lowly of ourselves, which can really be a real danger for some of us, can't it? Yeah, because of Jesus, we are saved. We've been showered with God's incredible love and mercy. Having a transformed view of ourselves will mean we don't measure ourselves against the things of this world, things that can both make us think far too highly of ourselves, but often far too lowly of ourselves as well. No, we measure ourselves, we assess ourselves, we view ourselves through the lens of the gospel. It's a lens that exposes the truth, that strips away the rubbish and the things that don't matter, and it cuts to the core. Now, I reckon for most of us, when we think about ourselves, we don't really like to hear that we're sinful, do we? Because it hurts to think about. It makes us uncomfortable. But the reality is, our most common danger as humans is to think far too highly of ourselves. And we're certainly not immune to this in the church. Often we turn a blind eye, we try to ignore it. We try not to think about our sinfulness, because if we really stopped to assess ourselves honestly, it'd make us cringe. The truth of our sinfulness, of our failure to do life God's way, is reality. Yet the truth in the gospel is that in Christ, our sin is dealt with. God has been merciful to us in Christ. And it's only through him that we have hope and life and a future. And that truth is exactly the same for each and every one of us who follow Jesus. We've been introducing a new song across a couple of our services recently, a song called His Mercy Is More. And one of the lines that's repeated throughout this song is this one. It says, our sins, they are many, His mercy is more. That's the gospel lens, isn't it? To look at ourselves with sober judgment, with accurate judgment. A truthful assessment is to think of ourselves through the lens of the gospel. You know, I think there's a couple of things that are helpful for us in making sure that our view of ourselves is shaped by the gospel. Just a couple of quick things. The first one is kind of coming from last week, kind of carrying over from last week. Firstly, we keep God's mercy in view. We keep preaching the gospel of Jesus to ourselves. Keep thinking about ourselves through the gospel lens daily. And the second thing that I think will be helpful for us is having someone who kind of keeps you accountable in this area. Someone who can kind of remind you of the gospel when you're not thinking soberly about yourself. It might be your growth group, it might be your husband or your wife, it might be a good Christian friend. It's easy for our view of ourselves to get distorted. And so having people in our lives who keep preaching the gospel to us, who keep reminding us of who we are in Christ, is really important. I know there's people here who kind of like all different types of football, aren't there? But I think we can all agree that the order of kind of which one is best goes something like this. Up the top here, there's rugby league, then there's rugby union, and then soccer, and then all the way down here is AFL. Whatever your preference, though, I think, you know, the thing about rugby teams is that there seems to be a noticeable difference, to me at least, between kind of players in the different positions. You know, front rowers versus fullbacks. Massive and slow kind of props versus weedy and fast little wingers. They've all got different abilities and they're all different physically, yet they're all doing their part in the team. They're all sharing a common objective. And as Paul continues in verse 4, yeah, he wants to show that, you know, while through the gospel lens we are all the same, and that helps us think accurately about ourselves, yet in the context of the church we are all different. Read verses 4 to 5 with me. Paul says, "For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." As we view ourselves through the gospel lens, we're all the same in our standing before God, yet within the church, we are distinct and different in terms of our role in the body of Christ. You know, we're different parts making up the whole, with all the parts made to be dependent on each other so that we belong to each other. In one of Paul's other letters to the church in Corinth in chapter 12, he says the same thing. He says, "We, the church, are a body with many different parts who belong to each other because of Christ." God has placed us all in the body to play our part, to be a part of the body. Having a right view of ourselves as we gather as a church means remembering we belong to our church family because we belong to Christ. Which is it's a radically different way of thinking, isn't it? You know, especially kind of in contrast to the pattern of our world and our culture in 2021. And so we really do need our minds transformed and renewed by God to be able to think like this, don't we? And because the story that we're told in almost every other area of our lives is that we belong to no one. We belong nowhere. We're individuals who are the kings and queens of our own kingdom, the center of our own universe. And being self-centered is a good and right and proper thing. Now, the way that Christians are called to view ourselves as members of a body who belong to each other is a radically different way of thinking. But it's also an incredibly beautiful way to think about ourselves. In our services last week and this week, we welcomed some new members into membership here at DBC, which is awesome. Because in doing that, these people, they're saying, this is my church. I belong to this body. I belong to this family of believers. I'm committed to being a part of this body and to playing my part in it. And so maybe for you, maybe this step of committing to our church family here at DPC is one that might be good for you to make. Perhaps signing up for the next round of membership classes is something that you could do. There are so many great things about belonging to the body of Christ. We're dependent on each other. We love and we care for each other. We build each other up and encourage each other to follow Jesus and keep his mercy in view. But what do we do when we're just not sure of our role to play in the body? You know, when we're not sure if we even have anything to contribute to building up the church? Hear what Paul says from verse 6. He says, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. We all belong to the body. We all have different gifts, which Paul says are gifts of grace from God. Skills and abilities he has graciously given every one of us. And here in both Romans 12 and over in 1 Corinthians 12, Paul's really clear. These gifts from God, they're not for ourselves. They're for the good of the body, for building up the church. Having a right and sober view of ourselves will work itself out in the way we use our God-given gifts to serve those around us, to build up the church and to ultimately worship our great and merciful God. You might be thinking, I don't have any gifts. I don't even know what my gift is. But I can assure you, if you are part of the body, part of the church, you have something valuable to contribute. You have a part to play in building up the church. There's lots of things that you can do, ways you can figure out what your spiritual gifts might be if you're not so sure. You can ask questions like, you know, what are the things that I feel like I can do? The things maybe God has gifted me, has kind of given me talents and things that I'm equipped to do. What are some needs that I see around me? Or maybe you'll just try some different things and see how it goes. And you might discover that kind of working with kids and teaching them about Jesus is something God has gifted you to do. Or you might discover that it is definitely, definitely not. And there's a number of places in the Bible that actually list different gifts that God gives to his church. Here in Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, and Ephesians 4. And actually there's a heap of different ways that you could build up our church. Lots of simple yet really helpful things that you could be a part of. One simple and really obvious one is our working bee that's coming up on Saturday. You don't have to be a tradie or really handy or be able to climb a ladder to play an important role in our church family when it comes to simple things like working bees. You know, there's lots of other little jobs to do, lots of ways that you could contribute. You might be able to bring some morning tea, do a dump run later on, grab someone a coffee, go and grab some supplies from the shops. You could simply come and be an encouragement to the people here. And maybe you can't come. Maybe you're not able to be here. Maybe you're away. But you could pray. You could pray for the day as a bunch of God's people get together. Even a simple working bee is a place where different members of our church body serve our church together. And, you know, this working bee in particular, it's a time where we can get our facilities kind of in good shape for our upcoming Christmas lights outreach. But I know there's some of you who really struggle to feel like you have any gift at all to offer the church. Maybe you feel like you're too old. You might feel like you're too young. You might struggle to even make it to church because you're physically unwell or unable. Maybe you're a new Christian who comes to church and you feel like you're actually not that good. You're not good enough. You're not good enough or Christian enough to play a valuable part in the body. If that's you, I want you to know you as a person, as a follower of Jesus, you are a gift to the church. For all of us, our contribution, playing our part in the body, it doesn't start. It's not defined just by what we can do. It starts with us being part of the church. Our role in the body starts by giving ourselves to the church and then letting the Spirit work in us and use us to build up the church as he sees fit. You know, often I think the tension for us as we work on this stuff can be that we tend to default without even realising to the idea that when we struggle to live sacrificially and kind of doing these things, that we need to kind of pick up our game so that God will be happy with us. And don't get me wrong, you know, these things, doing these things will be pleasing to God. But the thing that I've kept coming back to as I've reflected on Romans over the last weeks and months is this. That our transformed lives, giving ourselves completely to God, living sacrificially for him, is at its core a response of worship. A response of worship to God for his incredible mercy to us in Christ. God alone deserves our worship. And so as we view ourselves, as our view of ourselves is transformed by the gospel, as we shift our focus from ourselves and onto the others, onto building up our church as we use our gifts. And when we do these things, when we make them a priority, they're a key part of the right and logical response of directing our affections and our praise and our worship to God for what he has done for us through Christ. Let me pray. Our Heavenly Father, you are a good God. You deserve all our worship. You deserve our lives. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for the church. Lord, sometimes it's hard work, but we thank you that you have given us a place where, because of Jesus, we gather and we belong to each other. Lord, help us to have a right view of ourselves, to think of ourselves in a way that honours you, in a way that points others clearly to Jesus, and in a way that builds up your church so that you might look really good, that more and more people might come to call you Lord. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.